Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Grown Up Girls, the Motherhood Edition podcast. I am so excited to bring a new series 3 of the podcast with some incredible guests that you'll hear shortly. The Motherhood Edition is focused on chatting with other mums all about, well, motherhood. We'll be chatting all things birth, pregnancy, routine, nappies, weaning, careers, and so, so much more. I really hope you're able to listen to today's episode with a nice hot cup of tea and some biscuits, and maybe even a sleeping baby beside you. Or maybe you are in a car on a journey and you finally have an hour's peace. Wherever you are listening to the podcast today, I really hope that you can relax and enjoy, but I will warn you that in some of these episodes, there can be some light swearing, so please be aware when listening with little ears nearby. Enjoy! I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by Baby Bjorn. Now, if you are pregnant or you are a mum, you will have most likely heard of Baby Bjorn, as they are a Swedish baby product company that have been loved for generations. If you follow me on socials, you will know that we have done quite a lot of travelling with Stanley in his first year, and the product that has changed the game for me travelling as a mum was the Baby Bjorn Travel Cot Lite. I was lucky enough to work with them on a campaign to try the product, and it is now a non-negotiable that I will not travel without. I always like taking my own travel cot to places because, you know, when you turn up to hotels, Airbnbs, friends' houses, you never quite know what the sleeping situation is going to be like, and it gives me so much peace of mind knowing that Stanley is safely sleeping in his cot. I know it's clean, he's also familiar with it, so it always guarantees a good night's sleep. Unlike traditional travel cots, the travel cot light pops up so easily with just a little light push, but it's also really sturdy and comfortable. I love the fact it's compact, only takes up a small space in the car, which is always a bonus when travelling with little ones, as the car is always round with everything but the kitchen sink. Thank you, Baby Bjorn, for sponsoring this podcast, and thank you for helping this mama get stuff done. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Grown Up Girls podcast, the Motherhood Edition. So on today's episode, we have the lovely Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So a lot of you that are on TikTok may recognise Lauren's voice because she is absolutely brilliant on there. She started off with a lot of comedy sketches, and then she's gone into a little bit more sort of real life of motherhood, and I absolutely love watching her. So I'm really, really glad to have her on the podcast. So yeah, let's get into it. How is everything today? Where's Arlie today? Is she at nursery?
Yeah, she's at nursery today. So yeah, she goes to nursery twice a week. She absolutely loves it there. Like, I kind of feel like we're still in a bit of a weird position, obviously, where I don't technically go to a place of work, even though I do, you know, like worky things. I feel like, oh, is it weird that she's doing nursery? But she just loves it, and it's really like helped with her development. So she's happy being there, and we're sort of just keep carrying on paying for it, I guess. But yeah, she's there today.
Oh, good. I don't blame you. Well, we'll definitely get into the nursery chat because Stanley's starting in a few weeks and I'm super anxious about it. So it'd be really good to hear some good things about it. But yeah, so just getting into it. So Lauren is mum to one, a little girl called Arlie, who is 18 months, and she is absolutely adorable. Obviously, you've hit 18 months. It's quite a big milestone. How's everything going?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's kind of bittersweet because I've always said, like, I feel like the older she gets, I enjoy each stage more and more. And I'm sure that's going to carry on being the case the older she gets. But oh my God, the attitude and the sass. And like, obviously, that she's at an age now where there's a lot going on in her brain, which she can't necessarily communicate like everything to me with. So I do find that, yeah, it doesn't take a lot for her to get frustrated these days. But then equally, she is like just so lovable, and she is a proper mummy's girl at the minute. She's very clingy with me, which is nice. But yeah, she's just got a bit of an attitude at the moment.
Bless her. Yeah, I can't say I'm looking forward to that. Although I don't know if it's different having a boy or a girl, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, she's sassy. She's definitely sassy.
Quite funny as well, I guess. So Lauren, just going back to the start, how was your childhood?
Yeah, I had a lovely childhood. Like, I mean, yeah, sort of like what I would imagine a picture perfect childhood to be and what I would want my childhood for Arlie to be. My dad did pass away when I was 14, but obviously that's coming up to sort of like my adolescence, my teenage years. But yeah, just growing up in my house, I had a really loving family, and we had a lot of cousins, and I've got a brother, so I grew up with a sibling. A lovely little childhood, really.
Good. I love hearing that.
love hearing that people have nice childhoods. So was there any point when you were a child or sort of growing up in your teenage years where you thought, I do think I want to be a mum, or did it never cross your mind?
Literally, that's all I wanted, all I ever wanted. In terms of a job, I wanted something creative. I always wanted to be a fashion designer or something like that, but that was never a massive drive for me. I just always pictured myself with a family, and even when I was younger, I'd sort of picture myself with a baby bump and being pregnant, which kind of actually is a bit weird to think about now, maybe, that I was a kid thinking, oh, I can't wait to have a baby. But yeah, it literally was. It was all I wanted. I just wanted my own family. So yeah, I feel very lucky that I have that now.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's weird at all. I was exactly the same. I used to, and this is probably really weird, I used to really want to breastfeed. When I was a kid, I used to have dolls and stuff, and my mum used to say, put them I was breastfeeding.
Hoist it up to your boob.
Yeah. I think it's just always been this thing I've wanted to do. And funnily enough, when I actually got around to the real thing, I was crap at it. So that's a full circle. But yeah. Oh, lovely. So when you, is it Tom, your other half?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you and Tom were together, was it a conversation that came up straight away when you first got together?
Do you know what? I can't even remember. But yeah, pretty much it's always been on the cards for us. He's got a really similar age gap to me and my brother. So me and my brother are 17 months and him and his sister 18. So we just, always grew up with that sibling there. I honestly can't even remember a conversation. It just was sort of a given that we would have children.
Yeah. And how was the process of that? Was it straightforward?
What, to try for a baby?
Yeah.
Yes and no. So during lockdown, we were supposed to be going on quite a few really amazing holidays. We had Florida booked. I had Vegas booked with my friends. Tom was supposed to be going over to China. I mean, as if that was going to happen in the end.
Yeah.
He was going to China for his friend's wedding. And then obviously lockdown happened and no travel at all. And we sort of, had to think about, well, do we want to start trying for a baby now? Because that was always going to be the plan for the end of the year. But we thought, well, actually, if we can't just keep putting off our lives because these holidays are getting moved around. So yeah, we eventually decided okay, yeah, let's try for a baby. And it did take, it took 3 months, which obviously that is not long compared to a lot of people, is it? But at the time when you're living in it and that's sort of trying to conceive and then the 2 week wait after ovulation, it just feels like an eternity, doesn't it? Because yeah, if you've missed that month, then it's the whole other month. But yeah, after 3 months, fell pregnant. And we actually found out on Christmas Day as well that we were pregnant. So that was the best Christmas gift we could ever get. But yeah.
That's such a lovely story as well. Sorry, that's such a nice thing to be able to tell her as well when she's older, we found out we were pregnant with you on Christmas Day.
Lovely. I mean, we took a test on Christmas Eve, negative, but I was no, I want to test again. I had it in my mind that I was pregnant this month, and then yeah, literally Christmas morning, it was ridiculous how faint the line was, but I was like, Tom, there's a line there, and he went out to a pharmacist that was open on Christmas Day to go and get a digital test. Even that came back and said not pregnant. But then the next day, strip tests, also pregnant. So I just think I was testing too early and I was clinging on to that faint line. But yeah, technically found out Christmas Day.
Yeah, but you must have known in your heart of hearts, you must have just known that it was, that you were going to be pregnant. We had a really similar situation. I tested the day before, nothing negative, and I thought, I'm just going to test one more time. And looked at it almost instantly. I was like, no, it's negative, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then I sent a Snapchat to my friend saying, was it Snapchat? I can't remember. I sent a picture to my friend saying, no, negative. And then she was like, look really close. She's like, I think I can see a line. And then that's when I looked. So yeah, we were both testing early, we were both eager.
To the point where I was changing the contrast and the saturation. I took a photo of it. I changed the contrast on my phone because I was I'm sure there's a faint line. And I was like, you can see.
Yeah. Anyone who's tried to conceive has definitely changed the contrast on a picture before and checked the line. And it does feel
like...
yeah.
You're like, I can see it.
I know, and it makes me laugh because I'm like, some of the apps and the groups and stuff, like pregnancy groups, people are like, can anyone see a line? And some people are like, no, hun, like there's no line there, just accept it. But it's so hard. And I think, like you say, 3 months isn't a long time, but when you're in it, it does feel like an eternity. Yeah. And that's why I always have so much respect for people who've been trying to conceive for months and years. Cause I just think, God, you're so strong, because it does take it out of you by the end. When it's a negative result again, you just think, is this ever going to happen?
It's draining. Yeah, it is draining. And if you knew when it was going to happen and you thought, oh, only another 2 months, even if you thought, oh, it's only another 7, 8 months, when you've got a deadline, it's fine. But it's the not knowing that's like really hard. And then, yeah, you start feeling like the cramps, and you think, oh, is it like implantation cramps, or am I coming on my period? And then you almost don't want to look when you go to the toilet in case you have come on your period. Yeah, it's mentally exhausting, isn't it?
No, it really is. So you fell pregnant with Ali, and that was on Christmas Day. How lovely. So you didn't get to have a mimosa that morning then. You had no alcohol.
No, didn't care though. Didn't care.
No, you don't, do you? It's weird. The second you find out you're pregnant, you just don't care about alcohol. It's like it doesn't even exist. Amazing. So how was your pregnancy?
I had a lovely pregnancy. I was really, really lucky. I didn't have any sort of like nausea or anything. I had one solid month where I had migraines every single day, like every day without fail, I had a migraine. But because I was working from home, I sort of, one, could keep it, you know, from people at work, like they didn't necessarily know. And two, if it was that bad, I literally just sort of like brought the laptop into bed with me, sort of laid down and just checked my emails, which was really just lucky that I could do that. But apart from that, I had a really, like, I'm just lucky. I had a really smooth sailing pregnancy. I can't complain at all. And my God, did I love being pregnant. Literally, I'd say that was like my favorite time of like me. And I just loved my body. I didn't know how to dress my body at all. And I needed a wee every 30 seconds, but I love looking in the mirror and seeing like her. I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, oh, it is amazing. I know some people don't enjoy it, and it's funny, this is my fourth podcast on like this season, and pretty much everyone has said they've loved being pregnant.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, which I think is a really nice thing to emphasize, because there's so much negativity out there about pregnancy and having a baby, and actually some people do love it, so it is amazing. I'm glad you loved it. Did you feel conscious of your body at all, or did you sort of fall in love with it?
I'd say the only thing that I was frustrated about is just, I just didn't know what to wear. But again, because I was working from home, I mean, like even now, I have never got out of that stage. I'm just constantly in like joggers. But because I was working from home and I didn't have to actually get dressed, that made things a lot easier. But yeah, I mean, I was heavily pregnant in like the height of the summer, and I was just like, I don't even want to put anything on me. You know, I'm hot, I'm bothered. But yeah, that was sort of like my only frustration, is I didn't really know how to dress. And I looked on Pinterest and stuff, but I'd then try and recreate those outfits and I'd look awful. And I'd be like, how do people pull this off? But yeah, apart from that, I loved like my body shape when I was pregnant.
Yeah, good. Oh, it's such a lovely time. Can't wait to be pregnant again. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah, same.
So obviously you are 9 months pregnant and then you've had Ali. How did your birth go?
So she actually came early, which I was really, really shocked about, actually. One, because, you know, first baby, they don't necessarily come early, do they? You don't usually hear that. And also I had no signs that she was going to come early. I honestly thought I'd probably go like 2 weeks over. But yeah, just sort of like 4 days early, sort of like, had the bloody show and then started getting some cramps and whatnot. And I went and done the Tesco shop because I thought, like, I actually think that this might be like labour and I want to get everything in. So I was walking around Tesco, like contracting in the Tesco aisles, but managed to get my shopping done. And then literally like had contractions like that whole night, kept checking in with the hospital. And I stayed at home for ages. Kept having a few baths and whatnot, and sorry, this is a bit graphic, but I'm gonna tell you now. I couldn't tell what was a contraction and what wasn't because I had diarrhea. Yeah. So obviously, like, those sort of crampy sensations are so similar, like the rush of needing to go to the toilet. So it got to a point where I couldn't time my contractions because I honestly didn't know what was a contraction. So we told the hospital this, and you can imagine them on the other end of the line. They were like, well, we don't know if you can come in or not, because you can't tell us how near your contractions are. But they said, you know, we're pretty empty at the moment, so if you want to come in just to get checked, then fine, like, put your mind at ease. And to be honest, by this point I needed some sort of like pain relief as well, because like I was in a lot of pain. So yeah, went in, they checked me over, and they were like, oh, okay, you're 7 centimeters dilated. And they were like, oh, bloody hell, you've got through all of this without like any pain relief. And yeah, so they literally instantly, like, me and Tom went straight into the delivery suite, and I wanted a water birth as well. And when they said the words to me, like, we're running the bath for you, literally, I could have just like cried there and then, because obviously a water birth isn't guaranteed, is it? Like, for obviously a lot of reasons, but one of them being that they have even got a spare bath. So when they said, yeah, we're running the bath for you, I felt so much more relaxed, and I was like, right, let's get this baby out. But yeah, then it just sort of slowed down from there. I think, like, where they said that I was 7 centimeters, I was like, amazing, like, I'm nearly at the end of this, I can do it. And then when I then got into the suite, it really slowed down, and I was still in there for about like 4 hours before it got to the pushing stage. And then I was pushing for 45 minutes. And then they told me that she was back to back, and that this was going to be a lot harder to get her out. So then, like, I just got really like disheartened, and then like my energy was obviously plummeting. I hadn't had any sleep all night, and that sort of like excitement turned to like frustration. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, no, I just need her out now. But yeah, I kept thinking that the midwives and Tom were like lying to me, because with every push they were like, we can see her head, you're doing amazing. And they honestly said that to me like 20 times, to the point where I'm like, you're lying, you can't see her head because she's not out yet. But yeah, eventually, after like 45 minutes of pushing, she came out. So, but yeah, up until that point, like, pregnancy and labour was fine. I was like really happy with the way everything was going, and then it got right to the end and I just fed up.
Isn't it funny how you got to 7 centimetres through like walking around Tesco? It's almost like if you're blissfully unaware and things just start happening. I think the second your brain knows that something's happening, it's like, right. And it like just stops everything.
Yeah.
You were so active as well, like doing your food shop. I mean, go get them essentials in.
I remember I was squeezing avocados because I was like, right, which one's ripe? And I was like squeezing like mid like contraction, like, oh, right, okay. But I was so determined that I wanted to get the shopping done. And then when we had visitors over the next few days, they were like, oh, do you need anything? And I was like, actually, no, I don't. I've got it all. Don't you worry.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Such a great Oh my God. So I can totally, like, I can't relate, but I can imagine what you're saying about when the water started running, because I think for 9 months, we had this expectation of what we think our birth's going to be. And then we get told potentially what it's going to be by medical professionals. And I think I was the same. I wanted a water birth. And I think I can imagine the relief that you felt just thinking, this is actually happening. So did you actually give birth to her in the water, or did you have to come out?
Yeah, I gave birth to her in the water. And also my waters didn't break like at all up until the point of when I was pushing her. So they did try. I had to get out a couple of times because they tried to break my waters, but she just wasn't having it. So yeah, when it got to like the final pushing stage, I actually felt my waters break, like the popping sensation in the water. And then yeah, gave birth to her like in the water. She was like a little fish, like straight up onto me, all slippery. But yeah, I think like I'm pleased that I did give birth in the water, because I mean, I've obviously got like photos on my phone, like quite graphic photos. But they didn't really look like much blood, because obviously where I was in the water and it just sort of like dilutes and just the water then just goes a bit cloudy, it wasn't sort of like a real horrific scene. And yeah, I'm just really glad that I got to have like that moment of still being in the warm water. She was then put on my chest. And yeah, I mean, she loves swimming, she loves the bath, so maybe that's why. Yeah, she was literally born straight into the water.
Oh, that's so lovely. I'm so glad that you had the birth that you wanted. I really am.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for that, because I know that, you know, that might not have been the case, and not everyone gets that. So yeah, I'm so, so thankful that it was.
Oh, good. How lovely. So what did you think when you first saw her? Did you know her gender, or was it a surprise?
Yeah, we knew she was going to be a girl, but we hadn't had like a 4D scan or anything. So literally the only like image of her that we had was, you know, the normal scan, like black and white photo. So had no idea what she was going to look like. But I just couldn't wait to see her face. I couldn't wait to see her. And I always think, when you're pregnant, and when I see my friends that are pregnant, I'm like, isn't it mental that you've got there's a face in your body? Like, there is someone's features just sitting in your body. And I just remember I was so desperate to see just what she looked like, obviously because we knew that her gender anyway. But yeah, I just remember looking at her and just thinking, like, how has my body just made you and knew how to make you? And I didn't do any of that. My body did, but like, I didn't tell my body to do that. And it's just baffling, isn't it, when you look at them for the first time and you think, I've done that.
You feel really proud.
Yeah, so proud. Mm-hmm. I was so proud of my body for giving birth, because it was something I was always like quite scared about, because obviously like pregnancy is just, you know, just ticking down to the point of, okay, you've got to get this baby out now. So I was always quite like scared of giving birth. So I was really proud of like my body, and then just like amazed that I'd created her. And yeah, it was just lovely. And we just like sat and looked at her for hours.
I know you do, don't you? I just remember sitting up all night, like when the night that Stanley was born, or the afternoon he was born, there was a storm that night. And Dale went home, and I just remember sitting there. It was so lovely. The wind, everything, like all the rain was lashing on the windows, and I was just looking at him like, ah! I was just crying.
It's something from a film, isn't it? Yeah. Like the rain, like
it was like the rain. I was just saving my little baby, although I was on a ward, obviously, so all I could hear was other crying babies, and that broke my bubble pretty quick. But it was just lovely. It is lovely that first night. So how was your sort of postpartum period? How did you find that sort of that time?
All in all, like, positive. I breastfed her initially, and I lasted 4 weeks, but I think it got to a point where if I'd have forced myself to carry on, I probably would have ended up giving myself maybe like postnatal depression, or like something negative would have come from it, because I struggled big time with it. Like, it's just, I think, like, where she was my first as well. See, I wanted to, like, I wanted to breastfeed her. Like, I felt like that's what I had to do. And she just, like, my milk just wasn't enough for her. And she was just hungry, I guess, which I didn't know that at the time. I just thought she was quite an unhappy baby. I mentioned it to like the health visitor and said, like, I didn't think that she had reflux or anything, but I can't figure out why she's just always crying. And even when she'd come off the boob, she wasn't satisfied. And I then bought a pump, and lo and behold, no milk was coming out of my boobs. Like, literally, she wasn't getting enough milk. So yeah, I lasted 4 weeks and then gave her formula. And I know everyone's journey is completely different, isn't it? But personally for us, like, that was an absolute saviour. And from that second that she had a bottle, she was a different baby. Like, she slept well. She, you know, it was just so different. And I don't know, I feel like I done all that I could. Like, I gave it my best shot. But then equally, I felt guilty that me being adamant I wanted to do it and trying to give it my best shot, like, I could have stopped her being unhappy so much sooner. But, you know, I can't live thinking like that. I can't regret what I did or didn't do. But yeah, apart from that, I was just like soaking up the newborn bubble. Obviously, it's a lot. You're learning a lot. Your mind is thinking a million different things. But I just was really enjoying that time with her. But yeah, Tom went back to work after 2 weeks, which, like, I just think is ridiculous that that's all that most men get, like 2 weeks with your newborn baby. And I just remember the night before being like, I was just inconsolable. I was so upset. I was upset that obviously, like, that little family unit wasn't going to be there every day, and it had been for 2 weeks. I was upset for myself because I thought, how am I going to take all of this on myself? And also I thought, he's just got to go to work and deal with, you know, the general public and just things that he doesn't not care about, but that's not a priority to him anymore after 2 weeks. So yeah, that was a bit rough. But then I sort of just had to suck it up, really. And I started then going to baby classes. And luckily, I was on mat leave with a few of my friends. So I had them, you know, like at the end of the phone and could pop in and see them for a cup of tea and stuff. But yeah, I definitely, it wasn't like this, I wouldn't say it was like a blissful bubble. There was definitely, you know, a lot of downs in the ups. But yeah, got through it. And yeah, I mean, I can't wait to do it all again, funnily enough. But yeah, it's a weird old time, isn't it?
It is weird. I think you're absolutely right, though. 2 weeks is not long enough. And especially because I had a C-section and obviously I couldn't drive for 6 weeks. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, because there's a lot that you can't do, really, isn't there? They say you can't pick a lot up. And
I just don't think, regardless, 2 weeks, I know I just said that, but like, no matter what birth you've had, 2 weeks is not long enough at all. And like, I think it's okay if you've got a village around you. So like, you know, I'm lucky I had my mum, I had my sister-in-law, I had, you know, Dale's mum, I had all of these people around me that were able to help me and did. But if you don't, like a lot of people don't, they're isolated from their family. I don't know how I'd have coped. I think I'd have really, really struggled. And I think what you said there about the baby groups, just one bit of advice I always say to new mums is join baby groups. Even if you don't think you're into them, it's not really your thing, or you're not really mumsy or whatever, which is what I know some people feel like, just go, because you will meet someone that is more like you. Like, even if you don't think it's for you, there's always people. And I would not have got through this first year of motherhood as well as I have done without my group of mum friends.
It's the fact that it forces you to leave the house as well, because there was a lot of days where, like, time just flies, doesn't it? Especially in those early days, you don't know where the day's gone. But there was a lot of days where I could have easily just sat inside all day. But I knew, oh, actually, 11 o'clock, I've got a baby class, so I need to get myself ready. Like, we need to head out for some fresh air. And yeah, like I would want, I'm saying to you, 100% recommend going to baby classes. I really enjoyed them.
Definitely. It, like you say, it gets yourself out, gets yourself ready. And honestly, when you come back into the house, you're a different person. And then you feel happy, like, for the afternoon to just chill at home. When you're there all
and then
day,
the baby naps well, because they're exhausted from the class. So it's a win-win.
And definitely, and also, I'd say to mums as well, don't feel like you've got to go past a certain point. I know some people feel like, oh, I'm too young to take them at 4, 5, 6 weeks. But if you're honestly at home on your own, just go. Like, yes, they might be asleep, but you get something out of it. So yeah, baby groups are the way forward. I absolutely love them and I rave about them all the time. When Tom went back to work, did you find it difficult, or were you okay?
I was okay. It was the lead up was worse. I guess it's with a lot of things, isn't it, actually? When you know something, it's like the anticipation, you know something's going to happen, but actually when you're in the middle of it, it's fine. It was okay, because, as I say, I had a few friends around me who were also on maternity leave, and they were also obviously in the same position where their partners had gone back to work. I think it was just... yeah, it was just that initial getting over it, realising, oh, do you know what, if it comes to it, I can do this myself. Like, yes, okay, I might not be able to go and have a shower now and all of that malarkey, but I can just be a mum on my own. Like, I can do this, and just, it might be a little bit more difficult. But yeah, I was just really sad for him, really. I think that's what it really came down to, is that I thought, like, this is crazy that he needs to get in the car, go to work, and just get on with normal life whilst I'm here with the baby that he wants to be spending time. And I was just really sad for him. But yeah, I had to just suck it up. But it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely really hard to break that baby bubble. I struggled with it massively. So obviously you got through that first year and started weaning. How did that all go, all the weaning period and everything like that?
Not great. Not great. Just... like, she's just not bothered about food even now. So we've been weaning her for a year. Obviously, she's 18 months now, and weirdly, she's just not a foodie. Like me and Tom are. We are foodie. I mean, Tom's a little bit fussier than I am, but you know, we love our food. But even from day one, she just showed barely any interest in it. What she still loved her bottles of milk. But yeah, she just wasn't fussed about it at all, to the point where when she then turned one, and obviously then her calories were, you know, coming from food and the milk dropped down to just sort of like one bottle a day, I sort of was thinking like, I really hope she gets it now, because obviously this is what she's going to be used to. And days are still hit and miss, you know, like there'll be days where she's just a gannet and will eat anything and everything. I'm assuming maybe if she's going for a growth spurt or something. And then other days where she just doesn't really eat anything apart from like a couple of cubes of cheese and maybe some blueberries that I put on her plate. But quite a lot of, I done a video about this saying about, you know, like it really, it stresses me out, makes me really anxious because she needs food to survive and she's not eating much of it. But a lot of people just said, first of all, that they're in the same boat, but also to like look at the week as a whole rather than just what she's eating in a day, because, yeah, you know, then you get a clearer picture. And I get it. Like, some days I'm hungrier than others, but yeah, even from day one of the weaning, I thought that a year on would be in a bit of a better position, but really she's just not fussed with it. But I guess not everyone has to be, do they? She might just literally eat what she needs to and that's it.
Yeah, and it's super common as well. And it does, I think as well, it doesn't mean that just because they're not now, they won't be. Like, I was speaking, weirdly enough, I was speaking to my auntie about this the other day, and she was saying, God, he's, because Stanley is the opposite. He is an absolute gannet. And he will eat everything in sight. And she was saying, oh, he's a really good eater. And I said, yeah, he is. She said, that's exactly what my little girl was like. And then when she turned two, she didn't want to eat anything. And then my other auntie popped in and said, well, I had the opposite. My little boy didn't eat anything until two, and then he became a gannet. So I think, I don't know, I feel like just because they're the way they are now doesn't mean that that's going to be like that forever, does it?
Yeah, no, exactly.
It is hard, and I can see why. I like, Stanley does eat really well, but on the days he doesn't, I get anxious. I'm like,
oh. Yeah, because then you think, oh, why is it different today?
Yeah, you do. And then you think, you start questioning all your choices and think, well, have I just given him all the same things? So now I'm trying something new. Does he not want it? Like, is it my fault? So yeah, it does go around in circles, sure. Weaning wasn't your favourite part of the last 18 months. Yeah. what would you say has been your favourite part?
What? Oh my God.
That's everything, a good question.
Literally everything else. What's been my favourite part? Like, this sounds so cringe, doesn't it? But just like being with her and watching her like grow. And even when you don't realize that she's learning things, I look back on photos and videos and I'm like, oh wow, like she's come such a long way with this, with that, with her speech, her walking, her crawling, all of that. It's just watching this little person that not only did you make and grow, but that you're like also teaching. And obviously you're teaching with no experience as well, because there's not a rule book to this, is there? You just wing it. So yeah, I'd say, I mean, I love being a mum so much. Like, I, as I say, I always wanted it, and I'm so glad that I have loved it. But yeah, just watching this little person that's half you and half the person that you love just grow up is just like amazing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is so lovely. What age did she walk?
Quite late, I'd say. So she's 18 months now. She started walking when she, like, the day that she turned 16 months. But I feel like it was a confidence thing, because she could walk, as in like she would walk with her walker, and if I was walking along holding her hand, she would walk. But when I say it was a confidence thing, I think it really was, because she would literally hold on to like the tip of my finger. She wasn't using me for balance or anything. It was just, she liked to know that I was there. And then the second that I would like try and pull away and let her go off independently, she would like dramatically fall to the floor and just like lay there as if to be like, no, thank you, I'm not doing this. So I feel like she could have done it earlier. She just didn't want to. So yeah, 16 months. But then my mum said that actually I was 16 months when I started did walk in, so maybe it's just in the genes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I just laughed there when you said dramatically falling down, because we've got that exact stage of Stanley at the minute. He's like holding on to the tie, like holding on to my shirt like that. We know what you
have. Like literally, like by the fibers.
Yeah, tiny thing. And then like he'll literally just go, oh, and like slump down.
And just lay there like, I can't do it.
And you're just like, you can do it. But to be fair, he's only 12 months, so he's still got like... We're not worrying about any delays or anything like that. Yeah. But
she wasn't doing that at 12 months. No. So like, yeah. Oh, bless him. We'll be walking soon.
I know. And then I'll be like, what the hell? But I do genuinely feel like walking is going to be slightly easier in some ways. Because when they're crawling at the minute, I'm constantly making provisions for him to be able to crawl everywhere.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know whether people necessarily scaremonger on purpose, but I feel like a lot of people say things that are unintentionally like quite negative. And I would have a lot of people say to me, "Huh, you just wait until she's walking. You need eyes at the back of your head." But I was like, well, it's no different. Like, she's crawling now. Like, you know, okay, she might be slightly quicker when she's walking, but she can still get to places. And if anything now, I'm worried about like anything on the floor that might hurt her knees and stuff, whereas when she's walking around, you know, she's got her socks on, she's got her shoes on, something like, if we're out and about, and if anything it just gives her that independence because she can get to exactly where she wants to be. So yeah, a lot of people said to me like, oh, don't, you know, don't wish time away, don't, you don't want her to walk. But actually I feel the opposite. I love the fact that she can walk now, and it's really nice just to watch her do her own little thing. So yeah, I'm sure you're gonna love it.
I'm really glad you said that actually, because I've had really similar comments of people being like, you need eyes in the back of your head, that's it now. And I'm like, I've needed eyes in the back of my head from 6 months.
Like, I already do, like,
yeah. No, I'm really glad you've said that, because I've felt a bit like that, thinking like, oh god, is it just going to be a nightmare? But
maybe. Yeah, no, I love it. I really love it.
Yeah, oh, good. So obviously, Ali's at nursery today, and she's been going for a while now. Mm-hmm. How is everything going with that? Obviously, I think I mentioned at the start of the podcast that Stanley's starting in a few weeks. I'm really anxious about it. Was it? Did she love it from the start, or was it a bit of a gradual?
No, it took a few weeks, and it took me a few weeks as well. So, I mean, the reason that she's at nursery is because obviously I was supposed to be going back to work, like made redundant, blah, blah, blah. But the nursery that we put her into, like most nurseries, like have a wait list, you know, like it's quite hard to get in. So we enrolled her 9 months before. So she started in September. And obviously at this point, I wasn't going back to work. And the pit that I had, like just constantly in my chest, in my belly, because I was leaving her. I know they're not strangers, as in, you know, you've met the nursery staff and they are there to do a job, like they're there to look after children. But I was effectively leaving her with people that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And when I first started dropping her off, she didn't want to be there. Like, she was crying. And I just thought, I don't know if this is going to work, because obviously at the minute I don't need her in nursery. Like, and I'm putting her through this and putting myself through it. Should I? But I'm so glad that I persisted, because after literally like 2 weeks, she went there absolutely fine. I still felt like a bit weird about it, just because you've had this mini human with you for, like, you know, their whole life, like a year that you've been with them sort of like non-stop, give or take maybe when you've gone out for dinner and someone's like babysat. But like, it was just a weird feeling leaving her. But like, honestly, I could just like praise that nursery so much. Like, it's made her social skills so much better, because she didn't necessarily like being left just with other people, or if someone wanted to pick her up and give her a cuddle, she hated that. So it's made her social skills a lot better. Obviously, her speech and everything like that has like developed quite a lot, and I don't necessarily know whether that's completely nursery or whether, you know, that would have happened anyway if she was just with me. I just feel like, yeah, she's really grown up, bless her. And when I drop her off now, she just runs away, which is like, you know, I'm like, oh, bye darling, see you later. Like, see you later. But she's just so happy to be there. And also I think it's good for her eating as well, because she's obviously in a room where she's seeing other kids eat, and like they'll write stuff down on the app saying that she's eaten something, and I'm like, has she? Like, she would not eat that at home, but she's obviously watching like other children do it and mimicking them. So yeah, I mean, I completely get where you're coming from, like, in terms of it's what I said before, you know, like the build up when something's gonna happen, you get anxious about it, don't you? But actually, after it did, and after I sort of got used to it, and after I realized that she loved it so much, I kind of just thought, okay, well, it is what it is. But yeah, you'll be fine. Give it a couple of weeks after and you'll be fine, and he will be fine as well.
No, it's really nice to hear that, because, and you know, all of my friends have had the same, like that pit in the stomach for weeks, and the build up of it is just so hard. But I know he'll be fine. But it's like you said, you're leaving your most precious possession that you own in the whole world with people you technically don't really know. But the good thing about the nursery that I'm leaving Stanley in is why I feel I've got a little bit of a sense of confidence. I know people there. I know a lot of the kids there. I know their mums, and I know a lot of people that work there. I don't know them, but I know of them. So that's given me a bit of confidence. But it is hard. It is a really hard transition. So did you say you got made redundant?
Yeah. Yep. That bang in the middle of my maternity leave was made redundant, which obviously was, I mean, not ideal at all. But I am such a firm believer with literally anything and everything in life, I feel like happens for a reason. And, you know, I also believe that was my path. That was what was meant to happen. I've obviously ended up having however many more it is now, 5 or 6 extra months with Arlie that I wouldn't have had. I just believe that everything, you've got your path in life, that was supposed to happen. And even though at the time I was like, oh, wow, okay, like this is, you know, quite a lot for me to deal with. Like there's obviously so many like aspects to it. I feel like I've come out in a, you know, it's worked out well for me. So,
yeah. So, obviously with the whole TikTok thing, you're doing so well on there. Did that start in lockdown?
No, it started when I was made redundant.
Oh, so yeah, not long ago at all then.
No, I started doing it in May. So whilst my redundancy process was going on,
you've done so well, because it hasn't even been a year, but I know that you love it. So do you think that will become like your work, your sort of full-time work?
Yeah, well, it kind of half and half is at the moment. I mean, so I've got a management now, which is like, even saying those words, even the fact that I'm on this podcast is like blowing my mind a little bit. Like if someone had said this to me this time last year, I'd be like, no, that's not me, that's not my life. But so I've got a management, and I've had like quite a few like exciting collaborations and stuff, which is great, because like I feel like I can't just be a 24/7 100% mum. I need something to tick my, like, you know, tick my little brain along. So when I get like briefs sent through, regardless of whether I go ahead with them or I don't, I might just read through them, decide it's not for me. It's something that's getting like the cogs in my brain turning, and I can think, oh, okay, well, how could I shoot that? So yeah, I'm definitely earning like, you know, some sort of money from it. But obviously with social media, like I guess if you're self-employed, it just fluctuates each month as to whether that's a livable wage or not. I've also got like a little side business, which I did start in lockdown, which is like posters and prints for kids' rooms. So I also have that to focus on as well. I've got that, and that's how I spend my 2 days a week when Arlie's at nursery. I focus on, I guess, what I would now call like worky bits. But yeah, I mean, if this does end up being a career, then I have, you know, I have no shame in saying like that would be like my absolute dream. Of course it would be, like I'd get to spend my life with Arlie, watching her grow up. And also if we fall pregnant sometime soon, I'd get to like experience that full maternity leave while still technically working. I absolutely would, that would be my dream. But I also am a realist, and it might not work out, you know, like people might get bored of me, or like the collaborations might not come in, and then that's when I then have to think about something else. But for now, I'm just sort of, I'm really enjoying this balance of being a mum for like the majority of the week, documenting life as a mum and being able to relate to people online, because they help me massively. People in the comments, honestly, if I'm going through something shit, and the amount of people that agree with it, I just think, oh my God, thank God I'm not alone. Going through all of that, but then also having a couple of days to myself where I can focus on like worky bits, which is just amazing.
Good for you. And people won't get bored of you. Absolutely not. You're so good on there.
Oh, you never know.
Love it. Love seeing your videos pop up. It's so good. And you just, I think you're right. I think you've got to, you know, make hay while the sun shines is what they say. Because if things are happening and, you know, things are working, then just run with it. And I know that so many, I always get questions like on Instagram and TikTok, people being like, I really want to start like a mummy page or things like that. Like, but I've got no confidence. What would you say to them kind of people that want to, or the mums that want to start their page?
I honestly would, first of all, I'd say do it, because regardless of your following, regardless of the amount of views, the likes that your videos get, that doesn't matter. First of all, like venting, like verbally venting helps me massively. So like, you know, if I'm having a bit of a down day, even just talking about it, because obviously like I can't have a conversation with Ali. She might be understanding a few things now, but I don't have a conversation with her. So venting and knowing that I'm like saying what I need to say helps. And then actually, if you do then end up starting to get a bit of a following and the comments come in, you're then talking to people who are in a really similar position, and that helps massively. I just think as long as you're like true to yourself, you know, I think quite a lot of people might fall into a trap of like what they think that they need to do or need to say, but as long as you're true to yourself and you're having fun doing it and it doesn't actually become like a chore as such, then like perfect, like it's only going to benefit you. So yeah, that would be like my piece of advice. Just do it, and don't care about who potentially could watch it, because I'm sure there's people who I went to school with or who I worked with who watch my videos and think like who does she think she's, but I don't care about them, I don't see them. So like just you do you. So that would be my piece of advice, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, really good advice. And actually, even the people that you do know might not agree with it. And like, I've had that a little bit of like, you know, I think there's probably some people within my circle who don't agree with me being, you know, open online and things like that. But actually, if you want to do it, just do it.
Mm. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not there to please them, are you?
No, like, you're not. And at the end of the day, they're not paying your bills. So if you can make a bit of money from it and it helps family out, I just think, well, why not? I don't know. I just okay, well, I've got one more bit of a question of where you can give a little bit more advice. And it's the last question of the podcast. And it is, what would you tell a newly postpartum mum listening to this right now who might be struggling, might feel a little bit lonely? Now that you've been through it, you're 18 months down the line, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that, I'd probably tell them that for me personally, every single stage gets better and better. You think that in the moment there and then, oh, this is my favourite, I love this, but it's only then up from there. And to be honest, I say for me personally, but everyone that I spoke to feels that same way. So maybe that just is how it goes. And also, as hard as it is to like say to someone, oh, don't stress, because if someone had said that to me like back in the newborn days, like, oh, don't stress about that, I'd tell them to shut up. But something that you focus on so much and literally will consume your mind for that day, for instance, if they haven't drunk, you know, a whole bottle, and they usually do, something that you will really worry about that day will be completely at the back of your mind the next day. So yeah, try not to get like so massively caught up on little things, unless, you know, you start thinking, oh, there might be a problem. But just take each day as it comes, and every small thing is a win.
Love it. Really lovely advice. Really good advice. And I think one thing, and similar to what you were saying, that somebody told me, was everything's a phase. And it is so true. Like, when you're going through that really sleepless nights and you're struggling, it is just a phase, and it does get better.
And you forget about it, and it's just then becomes a massive blur.
you do. I know, like, I saw something the other day on TikTok, and it said, I don't actually remember the first year of my child's life. And I thought, I do obviously remember it, but it does just, it is a blur.
It's very hard to pinpoint stuff, isn't it? Like, my friend's got a new baby, and she sort of like asked me a few specific questions, and I had to say to her, honestly, I don't know at what age she done that. Like, I don't, unless I looked through my baby book where I've physically written it down, I could not tell you, because those months just, they just gel together, don't they? That's the thing. I don't feel like I've forgotten everything, but it's just the specifics just go out of your mind, don't they?
They do, definitely. I think we've got too much in our brain half the time. Okay, lovely. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Lauren. It's been so nice to talk. And it's been lovely to get to know you a little bit better as well. So thank you so much. And I'll put all of the links to Lauren's TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, everything down below so you can go and check her out and give her a follow. So yeah, thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you.